Very often what we hear in terms of the teaching here at Crossroads is somebody spends a fair amount of time studying God's Word, and John Piper's memorable phrase there, the preacher's heart is cast in the mold of the doctrine. By studying a text of Scripture and praying and thinking about it, God's Word becomes powerful in that person who's studying, and that person comes to speak to us. And so that's one kind of way that God's people are edified. But today we're having something a little bit different. We just sang a few moments ago, Hope of the Nations, that Jesus Christ is the hope of all the nations. And it's been the privilege of Crossroads to send a team on medical missions and church planting this past week in Ecuador. And I'll tell you sort of who, where, what, in case some of you are not familiar. The who is that we have 8 people from this church who went, and a team of 17 of us all together from North America. We're down in Ecuador. Most of us needed translators. A few did not. And so we worked in that's the who. Crossroads plus other believers from Wisconsin and Washington went to Ecuador. Where is that? We were in the Otavalo province in north central Ecuador, and we were working with the indigenous Quechua people, some of whom have been exposed to the gospel, but the area where we were is one of the most unevangelized parts of the world. And so, in fact, some of the places that we were sent to were places where witchcraft and witch doctors are very, very strongly established, and it is a powerful, negative, sadness-bringing, despair-inflicting, death-dealing dynamic in the culture where we were. And you'll hear more about that both today and days to come. So we were where we were was in the Otavalo province of Ecuador with Quechua people. And what we were doing is that we had a medical clinic that moved around to 5 different locations. And each one of the locations to which we went was one in which there was a local church that was being planted. So the clinic was there as a way of sort of opening up the community, free, a lot of medications and eyeglasses from the United States that were taken down, and the doctors and pharmacists and so on, those folks worked to bring health care for free to the people there who were underserved by their own medical community in Ecuador. So we were able to provide a great service, and it was linked with a lot of evangelism that was going on door-to-door in these communities. So that's who is 8 from Crossroads and 17 from the U.S., making of a team about 32 with translators. Where in Otavalo, Ecuador? What? A medical clinic with church planting. And having said that, I'm now going to call on 3 of our brothers who are part of this thrust. First of all, Dr. Dan Wu, who led the clinic. Before you come to Dan, introduce everybody. Dan will be first, and then Dan has led the medical team for the last 3 years, and he does a terrific job with it, and he will speak about the clinic. Otto Gonzalez has been before, but he actually ran the eyeglass clinic a couple of times, I believe. But this was the first time that he was actually going out into the communities to be doing door-to-door evangelism, and he had quite a time, as he's about to come and tell us. And then thirdly, Chris Daniel will come and speak. Chris and Debbie were a team going also out into the community doing evangelism, church planting, discipleship, follow-up. And for sort of the average Crossroader who's not a doctor, a pharmacist, or something like that, if you were to go, you would end up doing something kind of like what Chris and Debbie did. So what Chris does, what Chris and Debbie did, is something that is a high value for all of us to hear about. So this is not sort of crafted in a study, theological precision and carefulness. We got back late last night, exhausted after quite a tiring, but really a thrilling week. And so you're hearing fresh stories of what God has been doing. So let's pray briefly, and then Dan's coming. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us, first of all, to know you, and second of all, to serve you. We praise you that you are not only a Lord who redeems, but you also include us in your work of redemption. Father, we pray that as these 3 men come to speak to us this morning about the work that you've been doing in Ecuador, that you would be glorified and we would be encouraged. And it's in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Dan Wu, let's give him a big hand.
Okay. Good morning. Firstly, I just wanted to thank everyone here. You are all a part of this mission. I know a lot of people spent hours dividing pills. Many of you lent financial support, and many of you prayed, and you are all just as much a part of this mission as everyone who went. So thank you. Thank you for your part in this mission. Every morning when we woke up in Ecuador, we would have breakfast together, and one person would sort of share a devotional. And so really this is just a few passages that I shared during my devotional one morning. The first passage is from Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When I read through the Bible and I go on missions, I just see how the Bible comes alive for me. It is truly a living, breathing word that speaks to us, and it has universal truths that held back then and they held back today. They have examples of people of great faith that we are to follow, and it just reminds me. Every morning we would have breakfast and we'd look down the long table and we'd be breaking bread and sharing stories and you know, everyone did their own little miracles with their own, giving out eyeglasses was like bringing sight to people who just couldn't afford glasses in our own little way. Though God is the ultimate healer, we gave out medicines to heal sickness, and the evangelism team walked through the towns preaching and teaching the word of the gospel. And to me, it was just the Bible coming alive each and every day. The second passage that I wanted to share with you was 1 Corinthians 12:14 through 26, because missions has also just given me a very big appreciation for the body of Christ. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Like I said, you just appreciate how much we can accomplish when everyone is lifting their gifts and doing their part. You have people in the pharmacy giving out medicines. You have the evangelism team going out to the towns. We have people in the clinic seeing patients, and all just one body working together for one good. You see Pastor Harry prepping some evangelism and discipleship stuff, even though it looks like he's at a bar getting ready to serve some mixed drinks. I can vouch that that's not what he was doing. Okay. And you see Otto riding in the back of the pickup truck getting ready to go out into the towns. But really just being part of a small group, being part of Crossroads, being part of the missions, you really appreciate the expansiveness. And then working with the locals in Ecuador, it just gives you appreciation of how much you can accomplish when you're a part of the body. Basically, if I'm like a pinky and I'm not attached to the body, what can I accomplish? Okay. If you look here, it's kind of hard to see, but there's a little man with this big load on his back. And by yourself, trying to do something by yourself is just... it takes a lot of effort, and you cannot accomplish nearly as much as you can when you're part of the body. If, let's say, I were a pinky, or if I went to Ecuador all by myself, really I'm quite useless without the translators, without my pharmacists, nurses, evangelists. But if I'm attached to a hand and now I try to pitch a ball, I can throw it at about 100 miles per hour. And if I'm pitching a ball against Satan, who's up to bat. I'm going to strike him out now. And occasionally, I'm just going to beam him right in the head and knock him out. This was my translator, Josue. You get to know your translators very well. And one day he asked me, do I enjoy being a doctor? And I do. I honestly do. I feel like it's a good profession for me. I feel like I'm helping people. And it does bring me some joy. But honestly, what brings me a great deal more joy is just being a part of this mission. I wanted to share Psalms 49, a few verses from there. For all can see that wise men die, the foolish and the senseless alike perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. Do not be overawed when a man grows rich, when the splendor of his house increases, for he will take nothing with him when he dies. His splendor will not descend with him. A man who has riches without understanding is like the beasts that perish. We all want to do something significant with our lives. You know, when we die on our tombstone, we're going to have a little dash in between the year we were born and the year we die. And we want to be significant, make a difference in this world. And really, what can we do or buy here on this earth that will last? Our houses will crumble. Our clothes wear out. Our bodies wear down. But truly, God's heaven and his palace will last forever and ever. And each person that you bring into the kingdom of heaven, that you help bring into the kingdom of heaven, is like a gold brick that you add to his palace that will last forever and ever. And that makes me feel significant, that I can just play a role, a part in that. And we all know the infamous incident with my passport. I don't want to rehash every detail, but truly, it's kind of like a butterfly effect. You do one thing, and many things happen after that. And, you know, whether it was purely due to my forgetfulness or whether it was Satan trying to foil our plans, it really doesn't matter. God has plans that cannot be foiled, and he can turn around any our weaknesses or any calamity around for his glory. In Jeremiah 29:11-13, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So through missions, I've really come to understand that God has a masterful plan that he probably crafted long before I was even aware of it. And really what we need to do is be attuned to his voice and follow his plans for us. Because of the passport incident, you know, we did come to know one of the chief customs officers who turned out to be a Christian. And this year, when we got to Ecuador, several people had their luggage bags open because of the glasses and the medications, and they were questioned. And we just explained to them that we were on a medical mission and that we were working with Carlos Sierra, who's the customs officer. And within minutes, they would just close it up and just let us through. And so it is for God's glory, I think, that we met this gentleman who is now a partner with us. And not only that, I know many of you have prayed for our mission team because I was the only doctor. And, God did answer prayers. Firstly, he gave us two nurses who willingly stepped up and saw patients, Hubert Ling and Shirley Brown. But then also, you can go to the next slide. This is where we stayed, at the La Casa de Hacienda. And unfortunately, I don't have a picture of the owner. But the owner approached Pastor Harry and Dave Johnson the morning before, the evening before we were supposed to start clinic. And he said, "I have a daughter, and she's about to graduate medical school. And she was wondering if she could help in any way at the clinic." And so we said, sure, she's welcome to come and observe, and if she's actually comfortable, she can even start seeing patients. So God provide the answer to prayers by bringing her to our clinic. And she observed with me for one or two patients, and then right away she just started seeing patients, and you could tell that she was enjoying it. The very next day, she asked if she could join us again, and she joined us every single day. And really, there's no way we could have seen as many patients as we did without her help, because she worked tirelessly every single day. Without even really knowing whether she was a Christian or not, I told Pastor Harry the first night that I think it's wonderful that she's with us, and I hope that God will use her in a mighty way to reach people in Ecuador and perhaps even throughout the world. Apparently, it was one of her lifelong dreams to use her life and serve on medical missions. And so this was the first time she was able to do that. And you could tell she was just very, very excited to be there every single day. And so we worked in the clinic, and then really unbeknownst to me, on the third day, Paul, on the left, had shared the gospel with her. And she told Paul that, I understand, I just want some time to think about it. And I didn't know that they had presented it. And on the very last day, Dave John said, I think you should present the gospel to her. So I grabbed my translator, Josue, because she doesn't speak a lot of English, and we presented the gospel to her. She said, oh, yeah, I heard this. And Josue said, would you mind if we just go through it one more time? And honestly, that's not my gift. And this young gentleman, 22-year-old gentleman, is very spiritually mature, and he was very good. And so I let him do pretty much most of the talking. But I did pray the entire time that the Holy Spirit would help her to understand the truth, that he would work through Josue. And gradually I could see, her face softening up. And at the end of the conversation, Josue just turned to me and said, she would like to accept Christ. Would you lead us in prayer? And so it was such an honor to be able to pray with her. And as I was praying, I could feel her starting to well up with tears of joy, and as she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that night, as the angels rejoiced in heaven, we went back to the apartment. I learned a new card game, the most popular card game, called 40 in Ecuador, and we rejoiced on earth with our new sister in Christ. So really my hope and prayer for each and every one of us is that we will be fruitful, that we would keep ourselves connected to the vine, we would offer our gifts to serve the Lord in unison with the body of Christ, thereby accomplishing many great deeds for His glory. That we would lift up our individual gifts to help build God's eternal palace in the kingdom of heaven. That we will not wander like lost sheep, but that we will be attuned to our shepherd's voice and be willing to follow his voice, so that we may prosper, not with the fleeting earthly goods, but prosper with joy in our hearts and everlasting riches in heaven. Amen.
Dios bendicia. God bless you in Quechua. Let's just pray to begin. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for bringing us all home safely, Lord, and allowing us a week of sharing and giving, Lord, and just being with our brothers in Christ in Ecuador, Lord, and also for taking care of our families, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. My story starts, I was assigned, there was five communities we were working with in Otavalo, and my community that I was working was called Azama, Ecuador. I start with Matthew. I had to do a devotion in the morning, and I've been reading this passage right before I left, and it really touched me. And I really wasn't sure. Sometimes in America we think, that the harvest is there and everyone's heard about Christ, and And, you know, I don't see why Jesus doesn't come back for us anymore. And, you know, and reading this verse kind of said to me, this verse is kind of touching me, but I'm not quite understanding exactly. I understand the meaning, but not necessarily hitting home yet. So, and it goes, Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So before I left, I was praying to the Lord, you know, Lord, I'm not capable of being a worker, but I'm going to just submit to your desire for me to go on this trip. And hopefully you can use us. You can use me. I'm not sure how much the harvest is going to be there, but we're going to trust in you that we go there. As I arrive in the church on Sunday morning that we were going to be working in Asama, I met my brother in Christ, church planter Juan Tamayo. This is a picture, and this is a very rural area. Literally, you're walking through cornfields and small little tiny streets, no cars around there, just animals and people walking through and so forth. And our brother Tamaya is a Quechua. He speaks, his first language is Quechua, and second language is Spanish. Very broken Spanish they speak. So even myself, right then and there, I think God was showing me that, you know, I speak Spanish, but this is not even the language of the people that I'm going to be working with. So, you know, it's not even about me at this point. And I think part of just the spirit coming in me at that time is that, you know, the biggest thing that we need to work out on this is just empowering the local Quechuan, the brothers in Christ, walk next to them and just go out there and share the gospel with people, and God will do the rest. And I met Juan, and he was a very simple man. You know, their culture is very reserved. They never smile in front of you. But it was just a wonderful experience just to meet Juan and his whole family. Juan's got 10 kids. He's 55 years old. We'll have some other pictures of him in the front. I just wanted to kind of, this picture was at the beginning of the week working with him, and I saw him walking into a house. We're basically in between cornfields, and I thought it would be just a great way to share with you guys of where we were working with. So, but one thing that I also prayed that we shared with my brothers in Christ from North Americans over there was the believer's prayer. And that's we can find in Acts 4:23-31. I still have my Snickers bar here as a reminder of where this verse is. You know, we were a little hungry once in a while, so we just picked them, things like that. But I think the Lord, I know the Lord was preparing all our hearts through the prayer, the 40 days of prayer. And I think God, the Holy Spirit and God were coming down into the land of Azama where I was working, and he was shaking the land for his glory. Us praying here, they were praying over there also for 40 days. And like Dan said, and I explained, I shared the gospel with one family at one point, and I said, you know, God's grace is the fact that my friend Dan lost his passport a year ago for us to get a chance to meet Carlos Sierra, who Carlos Sierra referred E3 to come to this region. So that's God's mercy for you guys that allowed us and us to work hand in hand with you guys to come and share the gospel to you as a family. But, and so I think even the believer's prayer was started even a year before that. But we prayed in our church, and here's the way this is right after Peter and John were arrested and released. And on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous sign wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And I can say this for all my brothers in Christ, the brothers in Christ in Ecuador, the Quechuans that we work together, Pastor Harry, his team, and the other five teams we had, everyone shared the word of God boldly. There was no one scared of sharing their beliefs with anyone, irregardless whether there were witch doctors around or anything like that. Everyone knew that God's Spirit was with them, and God's Spirit is stronger than anyone else. So I thank the church. I thank everyone that did the 40 days of prayer for us, because I think that really helped all of us go out there and share the word boldly. On our first day there, one of the first opportunities that we got was Juan Tamaya, who's the church planter there. He is the vice president of the council community of Azama. So they were having that Sunday, they were having a council meeting. And, you know, us North Americans sometimes not knowing, you know, when to say no, you know, I kind of invited myself to the council meeting. I got introduced to one of the council members, and I said, would it be okay if we come share with you guys? Just what our goal is here. We're doing a medical clinic. And thank you guys for allowing us to use the building for using for medical clinic. And he says, yeah, no problem. You know, it's also in their culture to always try to say no to, they don't try to say no to you. So they invited us there, and there was 20 of the most influential people in the community of Azama there. And we were there, we came, we said thank you for allowing us to use the community center for the medical clinic. But besides that, our brother Juan and ourselves were able to share the gospel to these people. They were very open. The president of the community, who's sitting right behind the desk, you know, he said, our brothers in Christ are coming here to the medical clinic to serve our needs, but they're also coming here to share the gospel. So he opened it up for us, and we did. We shared the gospel with them. We prayed for the business that was that they were encountering, you know, environmental issues and all kinds of different things that they were encountering, and we prayed for them and got to know them a little bit. We spent a few minutes, and God opened the door from that day on. This was Sunday, the first day we spent there, kind of set the pace for us. And by that point, we had already done a few visits. My brother Juan, I was praying. You know, we did some prayer walking in the morning. This was later in the afternoon, and God already touched our hearts and said, you know, our job here is to walk along our brothers in Christ in Ecuador, the Quechuas, and empower them and give them hope and make them feel that they want to go out there and share the gospel. So, you know, after three or four home visits that we did, our brother Juan here shared the gospel to his council mates, I should say, and it was a really, really cool moment. And at that point, I kind of talked to the president of the community also, and I figured he was a very influential person, and we set up an appointment for Thursday for us to meet. We kind of said Tuesday. He says, no, I'm busy Tuesday. He said Wednesday. He says he's busy Wednesday. So I says, how about Thursday morning? He says, Thursday, he's busy. He says, in the morning. He says, well, how early in the morning can we meet with you? He says, 8 o'clock. I says, we'll be there. So to his house. We kind of invited ourselves to his house again, but it was all in the Lord's blessing there. So at that point, after I saw my brother Juan share the gospel and we share the gospel with his people, I'm like, you know, God brought us here for a reason, and Azama is going to be for God. And, you know, it's such a beautiful area. I mean, this is the whole area of Otavalo and Azama. It's just gorgeous. And says this has got to be for God. So this next picture is the church building. This is where the church meets. It's a rundown building. With just plastic, but you know what? The church in Azama is so rich because there's 30 people there, and they all have open hearts to go out there and share the gospel. It's a very, very united community. They help each other out. So even though their church building looks like this, and the next picture shows the interior of the building, it's just, you know, dirt floor and, you know, that plastic chairs and little benches around it. Doesn't matter, because, you know, that's not God's church in Azama. You know, God's church in Azama is it's the people there. You know, and there's people there in the church there just full of readiness to go work. And like I said, they all have their children. When we went out in the communities, we had elder women, men, and children going out with us to share the gospel with them. The next verse I have is Acts 2 to 41 to 46. Verse 41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I can't say that we added 3,000 members to the church of Azama that day, but, you know, it was a church of 30, and God was adding people daily. Verse 46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You know, I finally, these things that we read in the Bible sometimes in the New Testament about the apostles, me being out there, I finally understand these verses. Because we were breaking bread with these people. A lot, sometimes it's just small pieces of bread in their homes there. Whatever their humble stuff, you know, was, they gave us. We went to some houses where people actually went and killed a chicken in the back. And, you know, we shared the gospel and we talked with them and just, you know, really fellowship with them. And an hour and a half later, or 2 hours later, we ate, you know, what they killed. So I understood this part of the Bible where it says they share and the fellow, you know, and they broke bread. It's just, it came so vivid in my heart as that was going on. The Flores family, when I read verse 41, we walked through this house, and what we were doing is we did some prayer walking here in Hillsboro this year, and we all learned a little bit from that. So part of what I thought we would be good to do with my Kichuan friends was to go out there and do prayer walking. Before we walked into a house, you know, we would pray for that house. And for this house, we prayed. Before we got there, we prayed for the three houses we were going to go. We ended up going to one Kichuan house. They were very interested. They listened to the gospel. We presented to them, and they were really happy that we presented. They wanted us to come back. We went to a Mestizo family. Mestizo is someone like myself that's native of Latin America, European, and indigenous descent, so we're called Mestizos. The Quechuans are natives. They're just basic indigenous people, and they're still indigenous. So we went to a Mestizo family there, and they turned us away. They said they had no time, and he kind of talked to them a little more and says, no, we don't have no more time still. Then I started telling them about the medical clinic, and then they had 5 minutes to listen to the medical clinic. But after we listened to 5 minutes of the medical clinic, this is all right, you know, we got to go now. And we went and we prayed for them, but they didn't really want to hear the gospel. So as we were walking past the third house we were going to walk, there were also a Mestizo family. And I noticed that my Quechuan friends, brothers in Christ, were a little hesitant to go and to share the gospel with them because they're Mestizo and they're different. And in the past, you know, some of these communities, the Mestizos are the minority, the Quechuans are like 95% of the community, but there have also been some racism between among the two groups, more from the Mestizo to the Quechuans. I'm giving you a lot of information here, but I want you to get the gist of my brother Juan was very hesitant about walking into this family there, and they were there just kind of on their porch. And I noticed that my other brother, Rafael, the other Quechuan that we were with working the deacon, he told him in Quechuan, let's go. You know, we're going to go share the gospel with them. So we follow them, and they were there. And this family, I mean, I didn't get the picture of the whole family there, but it was about 20 people, about 10 adults and 10 children. And we shared the gospel with them that day, and they were in tears crying. Because they just wanted to learn more. At the end of the day, they were so happy. This was on Sunday. They said to us, can you come another day and share more with us? So he says, we'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock. The next day, we went there, shared the gospel with them again. And I could see that they had never picked up a Bible, but three or four of them were just yearning in their hearts to just read the Bible, and they were looking for the verses and stuff like that. And so I said, you know, you want to volunteer to read the Bible? And they says, well, you know, I said, yeah, you do. So then they said, all right, no problem. So about two or three read the Bible that day, and God used the Holy Spirit. I could see the Holy Spirit working in them, just reading that they wanted to read the Bible. And at the end of the day, they weren't necessarily comfortable praying, but one of them did pray with us, just a simple prayer. And then at that point, we broke bread at the end of the day. The family provided bread, and it was a really nice day. They asked us again if we could come another day, so we went on Wednesday again to share gospel with this family. Long story short with this family is, Wednesday we went back. They were praying on their own at that point. They were reading the Bible verses. They were just really picking, yearning everything. And I'll go back to them in a little bit later before I end. But the part that makes me the most happy is our brothers in Christ. By Tuesday, we started working in this community on Sunday. By Tuesday, our brothers in Christ, the Quichuans, were sharing the gospel. Rafael Alonso is here on the left side. Juan is on the right side. And some of the ladies on the top picture there. But Alfonso on the medical clinic, he shared the gospel with 150 people. Now, we don't know what God's going to do with those people. We don't know. You know, we just know that he planted the seed. And, you know, we were just there to help him do that. And he did that. And he was empowered. And he was so trusting in the Lord. And he just went out there in Quichuan and shared the gospel. And it was really cool to see that. Here's my visit to the president's house, the community president. That's him and his wife. His name is Joaquin. He was a Christian, and he had been struggling with his faith for many years. And I sensed on the day that I invited him through the Holy Spirit that there was something between Juan and him that necessarily weren't clicking there. And when we went to their house, we spent 3 hours with Joaquin and Juan and Alonso there and our team just praying and talking and getting to know each other. And after 3 hours, they were able to reconcile. They told us that they were basically things that were done to each other, that they disagreed on different things, and because of that, their friendship was ruined, and Joaquin wasn't going to church anymore, and so forth. And Joaquin is a very influential person in that community. And after 3 hours on my last day there, we had plans to go visit three, four people that day, but God's plan was that we spend 3 hours with this gentleman and bring reconciliation between Juan and Joaquin. And our next picture here shows them hugging each other, which in the Quichuan way, you know, I took some pictures of the wife and the husband, and the husband, you know, kind of reminds me of that the picture with the pitchfork, right? It's, you know, the husband stands here and the wife stands there, and the husband just kind of barely puts his hand on the wife like this, you know, and things like that. But that's a little bit of their culture. But, you know, here they are hugging, and, you know, that's a big thing in their culture, that they're hugging each other. And, you know, that was really, God used us to bring reconciliation to, really, to all two important people in their lives. And going back to the family as we're leaving, that family, the Flores family that I said to you, we share the gospel. That church, you know, in the New Testament, we see God added 3,000 and the church multiplied daily and things like that. Those are the possibilities that God brings to those people in those communities, that the church can multiply daily. I mean, the church is about 30 members, and that family of 20 people almost multiplied that church in one day. And the Flores family, they came to say goodbye on Thursday as we were leaving the province of Ozama. And they said to us, here's the stuff that they said and came from there. And I told my wife, I'm not sure if they read the Bible or if this is the Holy Spirit in them or both of them at the same time. They said to us, you know, and keep in mind their Spanish was very broken, more broken than the we speak here in the U.S., because they're really peasants. So, and they have very, it's hard for them to express themselves. But their words to me were, you know, we're so glad that you and my Quichuan friends, your Quichuan friends, came to share the gospel with us, because we were in darkness and now we have light in our hearts. And, you know, we never said that in the Bible studies. It just came out of their hearts that day. And my friend Amy, who was working with me there, I mean, she was crying the whole week. You know, I had Kleenex in my hands, and she was boiling and red and all kinds of stuff. But I said to them, I'm glad. I says, you know, I leave you. The Holy Spirit is in with you, and that means you just got to keep learning more. And this is, you know, bring the responsibility to you now is to bring more the same lightness and joy that you feel in your heart to other people in the community so that you guys can all worship together. And they said to us, we will definitely be here on Sunday to worship with our brothers here in Christ. So that was, that's one of the things that as Americans, we go there sometimes. We want to see results. We want to see numbers. You know, I didn't go with that attitude. I just wanted to share the gospel and empower my brothers in Christ over there. But it was kind of nice that God gave us a gift, a of allowing this family to come in, 20 people, to be added to the church. The church went from 30 to 50 people in a matter of a week, just through God's blessing. So glory be to God in that. So lastly, I'd like to thank all of you who generously supported the team and myself to go on this team. I know a lot of you just gave to the general support of the church, but you know, I told Pastor Harry I signed up pretty late for the trip, and I wasn't sure if I was going to go. And I talked to Dan too. You know, financially, every year I've been able to go on these trips myself and pay for them. And just this year was one of those years. I told Pastor Harry, I said, financially, I can't afford this year just to pay for my trip myself. So Pastor Harry said, you know, God will provide. And God will use the servants here in Hillsborough to provide the means for you to go on this trip. And I'd like to thank everyone that gave the support, because God did provide it for me to go on this trip. And it was a great blessing for me and a great blessing for the people over there. And it just, for me, it's an experience that I went there and share with the gospel with these people, but getting to know them and living a life with them for a week, you know, it's just an experience that's unforgettable. And many thanks to Pastor Harry and Dan Wu, because they really encouraged me to go on this trip. I'm kind of going probably over my time here, but I got to share something with you guys. This past year, I had applied to work for E3 as a church planter. E3 has many pastors and business people that had gone this before, and you know, we struggle a lot at home through try to go through these changes in the last year with Lorena and the kids and so forth. We put our house on the market for sale, and we really pray to God that if this is what God wants, as our small group is praying for us, if this is what God wants for us, then, you know, I'm going to get the job. And if God doesn't want us to do this, then it'll be a different time and a different day for us. Anyway, long story short, I went to California for a boot camp in May. And, you know, I said, look, I'm not sure. I love to do this. But I'm not sure if this is the right time. But, you know, maybe this is God's calling me at this time. Maybe it's not. But I have to listen to his word, and, you know, and we have to put ourselves in a position to change our lifestyles, to serve God and so forth. And it was hard at home to do this. But we did it as a family, and we said, all right, fine, if this is the way God wants us to go, then long story short, E3 said to me somewhere around August or something like that, that they just didn't think I was ready to do something like that, that I didn't have the experience. So we took the house off the market and said, well, God wants something else for us at this point. But at that point, then I said to God, if this is what you want for us, then, you know, you'll also open up another door for us. And I was kind of disappointed with the result, but at the same token, I had peace in my heart that that's what God wanted us at that time. When Harry and Dan, you know, asked me if I was going to go on the trip, I said to them, I'm not sure. I just said to them, I'm not sure. I have to think about it a little more. But deep down inside, I was really praying that maybe I wasn't ready to do this kind of stuff. Maybe I wasn't ready to share the gospel with people. Maybe I wasn't the right person. And I just said to God, you know what? You've always said, talk to me, and just, you know, says, you know, kind of jump in a leap of faith, and, you know, somehow I will use you. And I thank to my friends here and to my wife, you know, that they supported me, encouraged me, and my wife not let me off the hook, basically, and says, you know, you got to go on this trip because, you know, God will use you. It doesn't matter that other people told you that you might not be ready at that time. But if you just pray, and I did, I just prayed to God that God could use me, and he did. And it was just a great blessing for me and all my my friends from Crossroads and other people around the country, and to my friends from the Quechuans, that God was able to use all of us for his glory. Thank you.
Well, we could start with Chris, but I want to give him a full slot of time. So I think we'll have Chris maybe next week or sometime soon. But you can hear from the stories. Otto, thank you for sharing. Dan, you too. It was an amazing week. And really, when Dan spoke in his devotional about the pitcher who could throw 100 miles an hour, it was even more expressive when he had a picture of the guy a few minutes ago. This is a team. There were many people who accepted the Lord. If we were to all come up here and tell you our best story, we probably wouldn't get out of here until about 3 o'clock today, because we all have such amazing stories to tell. And what came to my mind as I was listening to Dan and Otto is in Psalm 118. In Psalm 118, the psalmist writes, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And this really was something. When we went there, many, many things happened. Like when the woman who, the girl who's a medical student, whose uncle owned the hacienda where we stayed, she came and the uncle came and said, could my niece go? And we said, well, maybe, and probably she can, just to talk to Dan. And then she not only comes, but she has such a great time. Maybe the second night we were out for supper, she was with my group, and I was with some people that I didn't know, and I said, well, just as a way of sharing, getting to know each other better, let's just tell what our dream might be, what we'd like to see our life be like in 5 or 10 years. And Carolina, the young medical student who was with Dan, said, you know, in 5 or 10 years, I would like to be doing what I did today. I'd like to be seeing patients and working with a mission and using my medical skills to help other people around the world. And it was just such an amazing thing that the Lord led us to that hacienda through Dan losing his passport and us meeting Carlos Sierra and him telling us to go to this province. It was amazing to think of all the things that God had orchestrated so that many people were converted and a lot of good things happened. It's the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. And again, as Dan and Otto have both said, this is a family thing. All of you are part of this with your prayers and your giving, your love. And so, yay, God, it's a great thing. And so, we should probably sing. So, Kenny, could we close? Right. Actually, first thing we should do is have the offering. And then, I even forget. What, Henry? Oh, yeah. Let me pray. Father, thank you for using this past week. It was a wonderful week. And you did many things, and it's our privilege to have been part of it. Now, as we worship you with tithes and offerings, we pray that you will be pleased, and also that our hearts would continue to be soft and reverent toward you. In Jesus' name, amen.